السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصيه، ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازيه. نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما، نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد، كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والأوصياء والصديقين، وعترة نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين، والخلص من أصحابه المنتجبين، ومن تبعهم ويتبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ولو بسط الله الرزق لعباده لبغوا في الأرض. ولو بسط الله الرزق لعباده لبغوا في الأرض ولكن ينزل بقدر ما يشاء إنه بعباده خبير بصير. صدق الله العلي العظيم. Many people ask this question: why God does not provide for those who are poor and deprived without measurement, بغير حساب, without reckoning, since He has all the treasures of the heaven and the earth, it is in His control. Why shouldn't He open the gates of these treasures and pour down His blessings, His wealth, money, property, land, on people? What's wrong with that? The answer is in the Quran in 5 points. And this is the first answer that I introduced in the beginning, in Surah Ash-Shura. Surah Ash-Shura is chapter 42. Chapter 42, verse 27. The first answer is, God says, if I had God outspreads His bounties, His blessings, His wealth on people on earth, then they would have transgressed. لَبَغَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. لَبَغَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, they would behave tyrannically on the earth. وَلَكِنْ يُنَزِّلُ بِقَدْرِ. His policy is that He sends down with measurement, with calculated measurement, according to His mercy, according to His wisdom, according to His farsightedness, and according to His knowledge about us. إِنَّهُ بِعِبَادِهِ خَبِيرٌ. He is well aware of our needs and our capacities. بَصِيرٌ. He's seeing. He's not closing His eyes. It's not only you who see the poor people. God sees them all the time. We see them once in a while. God sees them from outside and inside. إِنَّهُ بِعِبَادِهِ. Verily, in His servants, He is well aware, خَبِيرٌ, well-seeing, بَصِيرٌ. So He says, The first answer is that they're going to behave tyrannically. They become corrupt. And they act disobediently to God. This is why he does not give. It's not a blank check. His policy is not based on a blank check to his community, to his creatures. He gives with measurement. With measurement. The second answer to this is that God does not gather the source of power, majesty, supremacy, perfection to all people, to one community, or to one family, or to one individual. Because again, his policy is that people should need each other. God does not make a person or a community or a nation or a country does not make them perfect or self-sufficient. Maybe they become a superpower, but not self-sufficient. Some nations are superpowers, but they need the weakest nations and the most impoverished nations next to them, next door. Otherwise, their economies of these superpowers is not going to run, it's going to collapse. Allah says, I created people so they work with each other, they need each other, they depend on each other. No one is self-sufficient. No matter how rich you are, still you need the weakest people in your community to help you. And the rich person could not become rich without the help and the participation and the collaboration of the poor people in his community. God did not send a basket of dollars or money upon him from heaven. He made his money from the earth, from incorporating others with him, the help of others that made him wealthy. So he's not self-sufficient. Ghani, nobody is self-sufficient on earth. No one can continue his business without the participation of others, where among them are the poorest and the weakest. And this is mentioned in Surah Az-Zukhruf, chapter 43, after chapter 42. Chapter 42 is Hadid, after that Az-Zukhruf, ornament, and that is verse 32. أَهُمْ يَقْسِمُونَ رَحْمَةَ رَبِّكَ. Does people apportion the wealth of your Lord? No. It's not them. نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا. It is us, me. نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعِيشَتَهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. We apportioned, we divided, we allocated their provision among them, their sustenances among the people. It is me who divided that. وَرَفَعْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ. We elevated some of them in ranks, financial ranks, above others. We made some rich and others not very much so. Why? This is the answer. The answer, لِيَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا سُخْرِيًا. So some of them use others, they use others into services. They get the help of each other. سُخْرِيًا. Definitely, you need others to help you. You cannot live in your house if there are no others to help you. If there is no plumber or electrician or a farmer or a gardener or a handyman, you cannot live in your palace, in your mansion. Or a mechanic next door shop. You can't come to the mosque. You can't go to your work. You need all people. لِيَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُهُمْ. It's a division of labor. If God were to make all people rich, and as soon as they get rich, they don't want to work anymore, who's going to take care of these difficult jobs? No one. Then the economy would collapse. There would be no economy. If there is no laborers who go and pick the cherries and other fruits from the farms, you can't eat. You can't eat. You can't enjoy the food here. So you need some people to help you in this regard. لِيَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا سُخْرِيًا. We made that on purpose. Some of them. This is the division of labor. Some of them have to be rich. Some of them not very much rich. So they need to work. Because once they become rich, they are not going to work in these fields, in these jobs. They're going to decline. So we divided the life, this life, into these sections. لِيَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا سُخْرِيًا. Each country needs the other, another country, its neighbors. No country can say, hey, today no more immigrants, no more laborers, no more foreigners from outside. We can do the job. You are wrong. It is arrogance that makes you say this, not reason. Your country cannot run. Whoever you are, it doesn't matter. Whether you are in the Gulf states, in Saudi Arabia, in Germany, in America, in Canada, your economy cannot run without the participation of others. Sometimes you need the weakest people, the most deprived, to help you. To help you going on and running. So each one needs the other. That is the second point. The third one. The sustenance and the provision, there is tarbiyah in that. There is islah. Allah says, even through provision, I'm trying to reform you, to teach you, to train you, to refine you, so you learn from this life. Sometimes the hadith, al-hadith al-Qudsi says, there are certain people that nothing can bring them closer to God other than richness. When he's rich, he gets close to God. And those are the very small minority, by the way. And others, what brings them to God is poverty. Is poverty. Because if he's rich, he gets away. He does not turn to God. When he's affluent, when he has everything at his disposal, he becomes arrogant. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى أَرَّآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. He does not turn to God. So we make him poor so he can pay attention to God. He gets closer to God. I know about their psychology. God says, I know what goes inside them. So I choose this for them so they get close to me. They remember me. They are in need. Others, however, it is richness that gets them closer to God. Because again, I know about their psychology. When he's rich, he can give. He can contribute. He can work more. He can help others. He donates to others. He would be an agent of goodness in his community. So richness gets him closer to God. I help him to become rich. That is the third point. The fourth, number one. Reduction in provision is not necessarily abasement or degradation for us. Neither the increase of wealth and provision is necessarily a sign of God's favor. وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ خَيْرٌ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Those who are against God, they should not think that their richness, their power, their affluence, their health, their prosperity is a sign of God's favor. No, it's not a sign of God's favor. This is division of labor. Sometimes God gives to Pharaoh, he becomes the richest person on earth. While Musa had to walk in the desert and he had no food. Musa alayhi salam, at some point, he had to survive on the vegetations in the desert. Hasha'ishul arv, vegetations of the desert. While Musa was the messenger of God, and he was the champion of monotheism, and Fir'aun was the champion of polytheism, shirk. So this does not mean that God does not love me if he doesn't give me. We should not take this as a sign.
Sometimes God does not give you because He loves you. And sometimes God gives you because He doesn't love you.
This happens in this life. God's measurements are different than ours. God's standards of life are different. His calculations are different than ours. They are different. God sometimes says, I don't give you to protect you. I want you to be close to me. The story of that person who came to the Prophet, he was praying behind him. Tha'labah ibn Hatib. And he had nothing. So he would come to the five daily prayers. So he kept coming to the Prophet and saying to him, Ya Rasulallah, ask your Lord to enlarge, to increase his sustenance on me. The Prophet said to him, your life now, the life of dignity and content, you are content, you are happy with what you have, is better than a life of richness while you are away from God. He said, no, I promise you, I will keep being with God. You know, I promise you. He came one time, twice, three times, and the Prophet kept telling him the same thing. He said to him, now, you are with me five times a day now, always. I fear the day you get some money, you would leave me and leave the mosque. He said, no, I promise you. So the Prophet said, Allahumma arzuq tha'alab. He raised his hand to God asking him. He had one or two sheep. They started to increase, 3, 4, 10, 20. And he started, the more his wealth increases, the more his presence in the mosque, his absence in the mosque also increases. He used to come five times a day. Now he would skip one time. Then after 2 weeks, you know, skip twice. And then a day came that the Prophet would turn. Where is that? They tell him, yeah, oh, he's busy. He has a company now, corporation. MashaAllah, he's, you know, thriving. The Prophet said, I was fearing for this. When the ayah of the zakat came, taxation in Islam, that people have to pay taxes, almsgiving, zakat, they came to him, they said, Ya Thalib, the Prophet says, you have to pay zakat, almsgiving for the poor, for the needy. He said, no, I don't accept this. No. No, this is bad. This is unjust. I'm working hard. Why should I give my money? Let them go and work. The Prophet said, I was fearing for this. Wealth, rather than getting him closer to God, took him away from God. And I know, my friends, among us, are the same example like Tha'labah, believe me, with no offense to anyone. When we have more money, it's good to have more money. But more money for your well-being and your family and your community and your country and your neighborhood and your faith. But if money starts to take you away from God, this is bad money, this is not good money. Point number five, and that's the conclusion. The entire corp of prophets, they lived with poverty and deprivation. Even those who had wealth, but they chose not to use their wealth for themselves. They used it for others. All the Anbiya, except one of them, was rich because he was king, and he lived. Although he was very humble, down to earth. He was rich, but he was humble. And therefore, we have been told that he's the last prophet to make it to paradise. They put him at the end of the line. The very last one. And that is Prophet Solomon, Sulaiman alayhi salam. Although our prophet says, all the wealth that he had made him even more humble before God. But because he enjoyed some material aspects of this life. Other than him, all of them, they chose to live the life of poverty, including Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Gabriel came to the Prophet one day and he said to him, God greets you, and he says, Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad, I can turn all these mountains into gold and silver for you. And that would never decrease your value and your worth with God. You would remain in the same level. The Prophet said, no. For me, I'd rather live a life of asceticism, zuhd, and poverty. I choose this. Yes, I know God is very generous. He can give me. I love to live humble. Why? For two reasons. One for myself and the other for my community. For myself, I don't want. I know this life is short-lived. It's not worth it. And I want to be always poor when I stand before God. It reminds me better of my Lord. The second reason, my community. I'm a leader among the community. I would not be happy if I live a life of luxury while a member of my community is suffering. And this is exactly what's said by Amir al-Mu'mineen after him, Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salatu wassalam. Amir al-Mu'mineen said, I'm a leader. And the first priority and duty of a leader is muasat, solidarity with others. أَأَقْنَعُ مِن نَفْسِي أَن يُقَالَ لِي أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَا أُشَارِكُ النَّاسَ فِي مَكَارِهِ الدَّهْرِ. Is it enough for me to be titled and to be called all the commander of the believers or the leader, top leader, while I do not share with people their suffering and their pain? I would not do that. And he would look at the money and he says, يَا دُنْيَا غُرِّي غَيْرِي. He comes inside the treasury, Baytul Mal, where the wealth is amassed there. And he says, deceive other than me, you are not going to deceive me. I'm not going to be touched or inspired or fascinated by this wealth. I'm the same Ali ibn Abi Talib. Whether there is a mountain of gold before him or nothing, a mountain of dust. This is how they treated this life. We want to live among the people. A life of solidarity. Real life. So we feel the pain of others. This is why God says, I do not spread the wealth, outspread the wealth. وَلَوْ بَسَطَ اللَّهِ. If God were about to give all the wealth to one nation, that nation is going to transgress. And that nation is going to act tyrannically. لَبَغَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. This is why he does not give all the talents to one person. Sometimes he gives him wealth, he becomes multi-billionaire, but he lacks other things. You can see the example nowadays. God does not give the entire knowledge, the entire wealth, the entire reason and aql, the entire adab or manners to one person. He does not do that. He divides that among the nations, among the communities, among the people, so they need each other. لِيَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا سُخْرِيًا. So they need each other. They need each other in services and in help. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على خلفاء نبيك وأوصيائه وأهل بيته وأحبته علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين، وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين، وعلى سبطي نبي الرحمة وسيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين عليهما السلام، وعلى علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي عجل الله تعالى فرجه وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه. عباد الله أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وسخر لكم الشمس والقمر دائبين وسخر لكم الليل والنهار وآتاكم من كل ما سألتموه وإن تعدوا نعمة الله لا تحصوها إن الإنسان لظلوم كفار. صدق الله العلي العظيم. Giving thanks and being thankful to God has three aspects and three dimensions and three stages. Stage number one, الاعتراف بالنعم باطنا, to internally confess the blessings of God on you, internally, internal feeling. Even if you don't say it, that you feel it all the time. You think about it all the time. You meditate about this, that God has given me everything. Today I woke up in the morning, I'm okay, I'm healthy. I have family, I have a roof above me. I have food, I have electricity, I have security. I have peace of mind. Constantly thinking about God's blessings and bounties, innumerable blessings and bounties on us. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam says, من أنعم الله عليه بنعمة فعرفها بقلبه فقد أدى شكره. If God bestowed a gift on you and you recognize that internally, just internally, you don't have to say it to mention it to anyone, inside you, you say, this is a blessing of God, I appreciate that. Once you recognize that and appreciate that internally, فَقَدْ أَدَّى حَقَّهَا, you have fulfilled the right of God upon you. Meaning you have said a big thank you to God when you just realize it inside. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam says, مَا أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عَبْدٍ بِنِعْمَةٍ فَشَكَرَهَا بِقَلْبِهِ إِلَّا اسْتَوْجَبَ الْمَزِيدَ مِنْهَا قَبْلَ أَنْ يُظْهِرَ شُكْرَهَا عَلَىٰ لِسَانِهِ. Once God bestows on you a gift, and right away you recognize this internally, even without mentioning it by your mouth, then you're going to deserve more and more of God's blessings and bounties. So that is the first stage, my friends. And that is the true stage, is to recognize inside. Is your heart appreciates, the soul appreciates what God has given you. Stage number two, التحدث بها ظاهرا مع الثناء على الله سبحانه وتعالى. That you say, we, the nature of us people, when we achieve success, when we make money, we don't want anyone to know. We hide. Have you seen one of your friends who comes to you one day and he says, today I made money? Never ever. You are with him for 40 years. But the day he loses 20 bucks, it's in the news, in the social media. He lost 20 bucks. Believe me, that is our nature. When we make money, we don't share that. But when we lose money, everybody knows about it. And this is not good. Allah says, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. This is ni'mah. Say it. Say it to people. Some people don't even say it to their wives. Do you know that? The wife is the most dangerous, so they keep it away. Yeah. No, don't say salawat. It is Thanksgiving event, so. So, we have to say that. We have to show that God has given us. In your malbas, in what you wear, in where you live, even in the car that you drive, in the food that you eat, show that people God has given you. Don't hide it. It's not good to hide what God has bestowed on you. Sulaiman alayhi salam, when God gave him, he said, هذا من فضلي ربي. Everything that God has given me, my children, my family, my wealth, my health, my knowledge, my wisdom, my faith, this is part of my God's blessing on me.
لِيَبْلُوَنِي. He's testing me. أَشْكُرُ أَمْ أَكْفُرُ. Whether I give thanks to him or I do not give thanks and I become any grateful to him. وَمَنْ شَكَرَ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ. If you give thanks, you are doing that for your own good. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ, you are not hurting God. If you don't give thanks, God is not going to cry. No. You are hurting yourself too. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ رَبِّي غَنِيٌّ كَرِيمٌ. God is self-sufficient. He's not waiting for our appreciations or our thanks. If we thank, it's good for us, for our spiritual growth, my friends. When you go and say to your mother, thank you, it's not good for your mother only. It's good for you too. It helps you to grow morally, spiritually you grow. You appreciate. And the third stage, that is the second. You speak about it. You become proud of God's gifts on you. The third one, صَرْفُهَا فِي طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانِهِ. When God bestows anything on you, He bestows intelligence. Do not use your intelligence for fraud, for corruption, to steal. Don't do that. Use it in goodness. Use your intelligence to help. Use your intelligence to build. Use your intelligence to protect the poor and the needy. Use your intelligence not just to say, how can I make more money for myself? I make more money for me and my neighbors and my friends in the community. Use your intelligence in goodness, not in evil. When you have physical power, do not brag about people. Don't go and intimidate and hit people with your muscles. Try to help. Try to build. When you have wealth, use it for your goodness and other people's goodness. When you have knowledge, do the same. Whenever God bestows any gift on you, use it for you and use it for others. To build your societies, not to destroy, not to exploit. As I was coming today down the 57 South, I looked to my right side, right in front of the opposite side of the Honda Center. What do you see now on that river? What do you see on the embankments of the river? Homeless people. The number is growing and growing and growing. And every time I drive down to Orange County, I see 10 more tents being erected there. In the news, they were telling us the other day, in this state, the Golden State, we have 120,000 homeless people. 120,000. They make a huge city. And do you know every single day in the United States of America, we spend 2 billion people on the military, the defense budget. 2 million people. Why? Why do we need to use this money? Why? For islah? If we use it to islah, to bring democracy, to bring justice, it's okay, it's worth it. But where is the islah? Where is the fixation? Where is it? What country is enjoying democracy? Hillary Clinton herself, she said, we created Qaeda. We empowered them. We financed them. The money of the taxpayer rather than being spent on health care, on taking care of those human beings who are called homeless, on education, on peace and security, and real democracy is being spent giving these weapons to terrorists who are wreaking havoc in the land, in Syria, in Yemen, in other places. This is a test for us. A test, not just for individuals, for nations, for countries. لِيَبْلُوَنِي أَأَشْكُرْ أَمْ أَكْفُرْ. So we have to use this. We have to use the blessings of God in the best way. This is the best type of shukr. The best thing, the best way of saying إِلَهِ شُكْرًا وَحَمْدًا لَكَ يَا اللَّهِ is to use whatever He has given me. Whatever He has given me, including my feelings, for goodness. For goodness, to build, not to destroy, to build. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam says, في كل نفس من أنفاسك شكر لازم لك. Every breath that you take, you need to say thank you to God. Every breath. And the Holy Quran says in Surah Ibrahim, وَآتَاكُم مِّن كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُ. Look at what God has provided you with. He has given you of everything you asked Him. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا. And if you were to count the blessings of God, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. You would never be able to count them. And then the Quran concludes with this, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ. Truly mankind is a wrongdoing and grateful. This is a true wrongdoing and grateful. He does not appreciate. وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. Only a few of my servants, they give thanks, they appreciate, they utilize what we have given them to build themselves, not to destroy, to build their families and their communities. Very few of them. My friends, we're going to have Wafatul Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Wafat of our Imam Al-Hasan Al-Mushtaba and Al-Imam Al-Ridha alayhi salatu wassalam. This is the end of the month of Safar. On Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, every night at 7 p.m. inshallah, this coming Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, with Salat and then English lecture by me and followed by a Farsi lecture inshallah. And also, we're going to have a Muslim-Jewish dialogue for the first time here in Orange County at University Synagogue on December 9th, Friday. Please mark your calendar for December 9th, Friday at 8 p.m. We're going to be at University Synagogue. Either we can carpool from here or you can find it. It's a very famous synagogue in Orange County, in Irvine. So we're going to have a dialogue with the rabbi there and the Jewish community there. So I eagerly invite you, those of you who care about interfaith dialogue and peaceful coexistence, which we need very much during these trying times, to participate and join us on December 9th. Last but not least, we have a brother who served in the military for 9 years, and he's a PhD candidate at Stanford University right now in chemistry, and he wants to embrace Islam today. So I invite brother David Sanchez to stand here next to me to say the shahadatain. Say salawat for him. Use your iPhones. It's okay to take, you know, to record. You are okay with recording? It will be in social media within seconds. It's okay? Alhamdulillah. Okay. So David, the first premise of accepting Islam is to say, Ashhadu Allah ilaha illallah. The second premise, I test it, let's say that in English, I testify and confess that there is no God in this universe but Allah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. I testify that Prophet Muhammad is the messenger of God. And I will add one more thing. Wa ashhadu, because he told me today, I want to be a Shia Muslim. So you have to say this. Wa ashhadu anna aliyan waliyullah. I testify that Imam Ali is the friend of God and the successor to Prophet Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Congratulations, David. Those people here are your brothers. People at the back are your sisters. This is your family. So now, imagine, in Thanksgiving Day, you received 400 people. They became your family, mashallah. So you have to invite them for a feast, inshallah. So, may Allah bless you, inshallah. May Allah bless you. Thank you so much. Give me a kiss, David. May Allah bless you. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آله.
Congratulations. Allahumma اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات. اللهم وحد كلمة المسلمين على الخير والبر والصلاح والتقوى يا أرحم الراحمين، وعجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان، وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.